Well, I know at least one family that may not have been coming Thursday and Friday that are probably going to be here this week. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we commemorate your ride into Jerusalem, the Word made flesh, Lord, we recall that each and every day you move in our hearts and in our lives through your Word. Lord, may your Holy Spirit be with us this morning. May he help us recollect these historical moments that have not only shaped our faith, but have shaped the world. Lord, may we cling in these dark days to the light of your promise. May we find hope in the depths of darkness. May we look to you when all things fail. May we look to you when all things succeed. And may you always, through your Spirit, call us and gather us together in this place where your word is read, where your word is proclaimed, and where your word is received for forgiveness and new life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the significant challenges to each and every one of us in our walk with Jesus is how quickly circumstances can change. In one moment, we can feel as if we're on a mountain on top of the world, conquering the world, overlooking the world, only in the next moment to be in a tunnel of trouble and difficult circumstances. It can happen quickly that we go from here to here. Let's just say, for example, you've been looking for a job, you've been unemployed. You finally get some great news that not only are you hired, but you're going to begin even a new and different career with all sorts of possibilities. And then a week after that, you hear that your spouse says that they're being laid off from work. You go from a dinner celebrating a job to all of a sudden immediately pivoting to now we've got to save money. Now we've got to pinch pennies together. One day you celebrate the birth of another, or maybe even the first grandchild, and a month or two later you receive a diagnosis that you have a terminal illness. And the joy of birth moves to the uncertainty of what the outcome is going to be for you and what that road will look like ahead. You celebrate the graduation of a young adult from high school, only within 6 months to see that they go through a debilitating car accident on their first trip home from college. From joy to devastation. The best of times can turn into the worst of times in a matter of minutes, days, weeks, or months. This is the tension of this Palm Passion Sunday. Jesus fulfilling Zechariah 9, one of the boxes to check as the Messiah, rides into Jerusalem on the donkey, just as it was prophesied 500 plus years before this day. A great crowd gathers, a crowd who heard that this Jesus raised a man named Lazarus from the dead after he had been in the tomb for 4 days. There's a festive vibe in the air in Jerusalem on this historical moment. The people line the streets with palms, praising this man Jesus for the signs that he has done. Some in the crowd have seen these signs and miracles with their own eyes, and some in the crowd have only heard about these miracles, but they heard it from somebody to whom they trusted. There's high praise heaped on Jesus. Hosanna, Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Even the King of Israel is shouted as Jesus drives in. The excitement, the enthusiasm moves through the crowd. I mean, you've got to think, this is like Taylor Swift walking to some young girls who know they're about to get her autograph. This is like a Cowboy fan seeing Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin in 1995 and getting excited. This is like Michael Jackson riding into Tokyo, and there's no room for him to even move. It is at a fever pitch in these scenarios as you think about icon worship. And all of this activity makes the Pharisees nervous. All of this activity makes the occupying force, Rome, on edge. Is this the beginning of an insurrection? Is this an uprising? Let's keep a close eye on the events surrounding this man, Jesus. And you have to think, Jesus, as he's moving in through these shouts of praise, can't help but think that he is caught in the middle of the most ironic moments of his earthly ministry and life. The great irony is this, is as he hears, Hosanna, Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, from the crowd. In just a matter of 5 days, many in this crowd are going to be chanting before Pilate, crucify him. Set free the murderer and insurrectionist, Barabbas, and crucify this one whom we sang his praises 5 days ago. So quickly it moves from palms of celebration to the bloody passion of our Lord. How quickly it moves from celebration to crucifixion. How fickle are the hearts and souls of men. In one moment, we praise Jesus for who he is. And in the next, we have no problem trampling over his holy law. In one moment, we confess and rejoice in our convictions of who this person is in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God, he is the Son of Man. We shout his praises, and a moment later feel absolutely no conviction for taking his name in vain or following after another God. This is the great irony of Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. When we turn our eyes to Jesus, it's so fascinating to know that Jesus is not led by his emotions or his feelings. Not on Palm Sunday, not even on Good Friday. It's not emotions and feelings that lead him to do what he does. He comes into this world and he knows he has one big job from the Heavenly Father. And that is this, is to deliver the means of salvation to the fickle world, to a mankind, women and men who in one moment want to claim to be partners with God and in the next act as if they don't even know Him. And so He continues His ride into Jerusalem. He'll continue His walk in the garden. He'll continue by carrying the timber of His cross on His bloody back. Why? Because He has become the righteous for the unrighteous. He has come to die the death that we deserve and to rise to new life that we might receive the life that our hearts so desperately long for. And to those shouting at Jesus, "Crucify Him, crucify Him," He will later say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And for those who sing His praises and rejoice, He will say, "Mourn for those who do not believe in Me. Mourn for those who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, but have now determined to follow their hearts in another direction." You see, when Jesus speaks, He is always on point, always on mission, always concerned about the redemption of sinners like you and me, the fickle-hearted, whose spirits might be willing, but whose flesh is weak. And if there's something that you and I can learn from this moment of how Jesus handles Palm Sunday, how He handles His Passion Week and crucifixion and the resurrection to follow, it might be this, that maybe the best thing for you in our Christian walk and in our Christian life is to set your emotions and feelings to the side and turn your attention to the words and the works of Jesus. Now, don't hear that as saying feelings and emotions don't matter. What I'm saying is, maybe what we ought not to do is to let those things in any way try to be our assurance or our hope in circumstances. Maybe what we need to realize when the feelings of guilt and shame begin to overwhelm us for things that we have done, maybe we ought to permit the Spirit to turn our eyes to the very facts that our Lord Jesus goes to Calvary for us, not for Himself. Maybe when guilt and shame overwhelm us, we need to be reminded that the blood shed there on Calvary is the same blood that lavishly washes away the sins which have caused our guilt and our shame. Maybe we need to return to the promises and the works that Jesus has delivered to the world for our eternal good. You see, there might be a moment in your life when everything is going well. It seems like you can do nothing wrong, and you think, you know, this is just a sign that God is so pleased with me. And in reality, the Holy Spirit's been trying to convict you of your pride and egotism, and you believing you've accomplished everything. Maybe you're in a terrible day, a terrible season, and it leads you to want to feel that God is far away, but the facts and the reality of Jesus' own words is, "I am as near to you now in this moment as I ever am and always will be." And when you're near to me, Lord, I know this, it is always for my good, with the reality of everlasting life as the end. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Turn my eyes in all the moments of my life to the words and the works of my Savior, Jesus. In success, let me turn to Jesus. In despair, let me turn to Jesus. In death, let me see Jesus. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you first that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But Lord, we also recall that sin has broken us in more ways than not. But Lord, in your infinite wisdom, you have delivered to us sure and certain hope of salvation in eternity through Christ crucified and risen. And Lord, we rejoice that you move toward us, that you come to us to deliver these great benefits in our baptism, one which we will celebrate in the late service today. Lord, help us to be amazed and comprehend that in this ordinary action or appearance, the extraordinary and the supernatural is coming in to make new life through Christ. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit always call us to this table that we might eat and drink of your real presence for forgiveness and for strength for the days ahead, whether that be days filled with success or heartache and failure. In all moments, Lord, turn our eyes to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.